Blog Talk Radio. Clean Up Hitters program. Hard to believe we are here in mid-June. Yeah, let's see. And I started trying to figure it out today. Let's see, 4, 8, 10, about 10 weeks. Yeah, 10, 11 weeks, I guess, into the Major League Baseball season. Hard to imagine at this point. Yeah, well, that's what we do here on Tuesday. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk baseball for the next hour and a half or so. And what we need is we need a heavy presence from you guys out there that are listening. We're going to be joined here by a guest. We're going to get into some controversies because we're coming here on a day when a big major, well, some people are saying it's a major scandal has broken in Major League Baseball between two teams. And we're going to talk about that quite a bit. We weren't anticipating it. I wasn't anticipating it. Got up this morning, found the story, and suddenly I said, oh boy, this changes the tenor of the program tonight. So we're going to get into a little bit of that. But before I do, let me get around, and we're going to let me get in at least the first half of our frat boys. Sean, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good, pals, Mike.
Yeah, you said you might be a little bit... you know, getting off a little bit of a cold there, a summertime cold. Summertime colds are horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, it's the worst. Especially because I went through the entire winter without getting sick. And then I get to the summer, I finally want to, you know, go outside, do some stuff, and end up getting a little bit of a head cold. But nothing I can't get through tonight.
And the humidity that we've been dealing with up here in the, well, just outside of the Philadelphia region, the humidity that we have dealt with here in the past better part of 4 or 5 days straight now. Well, that's taken its toll on me as well. So we'll see how Sean and I do together here. But we've got Caleb, and so we're going to count on him. And what's the temperature in Tennessee, Caleb?
Well, the high for today was about 95 or 96, and the high for tomorrow is going to be about the same. Then it's going to hit, I want to say, 98 on either Friday or Saturday. It's going to be the high.
My goodness.
So, yeah, and it's very hot.
Do you get those humidity issues that we get up here?
Oh, my, yes. It's all humid. It's not a dry heat. It is, you basically walk outside, and a minute later, you're soaked.
Wow.
So
yeah, okay.
That's about how it is.
Well, you got us beat then. You got us beat. So I'll give you the nod on that one. yeah, we're gonna listen before we get into a couple of things because we're gonna be joined by Ryan Willis, and we've had Ryan on this program before. Ryan, good friend of ours here from Frat House Sports, all the way out there in the San Diego area, and Ryan's gonna be jumping in with us for a couple minutes. Of course, he's the host of What You Talk About Willis Show out there in San Diego, and we're going to catch up with him on what's going on with the San Diego Padres because, well, guys, they kind of made a surprise move yesterday. But before we get to that, let me do this. Let me throw out the number because I've got this long list of entry things we got to do. Let me throw out the number. Anybody that wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964 if you are on a computer. and listening to us that way, and you're Skype capable, hit the little blue Skype button next to our phone number, and it'll put you through to us loud and clear. Chat room is wide open. I see we've got quite a bit of activity. Thank you. Otherwise, hit me up over on Twitter, @FratHouseMike, and I've got a special excitement there on Twitter coming tonight. I'm going to be putting out a Twitter poll over at Frat House Mike here momentarily when we get into the topic. But before we do that, Caleb, how are we doing? Do we have the sports machine going?
Sure do. I got it up all
tonight
all
through
ready
the use
to
of the sports machine.
Well, there we go then. Let's get it going. Let's crank it up, and I'm going to let you take over for a second, and I'll rest my voice.
All righty. Cool. Well, we got the Yankees in Miami still. That's at 7:10. Washington in Tampa there, also at 7:10. And Cincinnati in Detroit, also, well, that's a 7:08 start time there. And Philly playing the Baltimore Orioles. That game is about to get underway. The White Sox in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, getting ready for that one, 7:05. Toronto in New York facing the Mets there. Cleveland in Chicago facing the Cubbies. So that's all of our early games there. And then we had a few afternoon games as well.
Yeah, we have quite a few finals.
Yeah, I do not have those pulled up, but I can really, really fast.
I've got those right here if you want.
Perfect.
Colorado lost to the Houston Astros. That game was played in Houston. Houston won that one 8-5. The Oakland Athletics on the road to San Diego. Speaking of San Diego, they won a close one 6-5. Let's see what else we got. We got the San Francisco Giants. We're hosting. Nick's favorite, Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody noticed the Mariners are 29-36? They've really taken quite the turn, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. They have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? What's interesting is Nick's not on tonight. That's what's interesting. Anyway, does anybody find that a little bit kind of like? So anyhow, no. The San Francisco Giants beat the Mariners today, 6-2. Home game for the Giants, and then the Boston Red Sox at home. Took care of the Atlanta Braves 9-4. So there's what those were. A lot of early games this afternoon. That Red Sox Braves game, by the way. Hey guys, how about this? 28 hits between the two teams. 28 hits, no errors. When was the last time we saw an error-free baseball game? How about that? There's a Twitter poll question I ought to put up. When was the last time we saw error-free baseball? All right. Meanwhile, real quick, let's go partake of our weekly useless activity by taking a look at the power rankings, because we just love to do this and make fun of the power rankings. A couple of things jumped out. I say this every week, but there are a couple of things that did jump out at me from the power rankings. Number one, the Minnesota Twins kind of came back to earth. They dropped to 10th, and that was we use the USA Today power rankings. They dropped to 10th, and that was a position movement of 5. And then the other one that jumped out at me, and I actually kind of made a comment to it. Hold on, man. I just had it open, there it is. I made a mention of it in the notes. There must be a whole load of people up in Boston right now that are about ready to jump off of bridges. You know, they're currently ranked 27th on the power rankings. 27th. They dropped 5 spots this week. They're 27-37. Those folks up in Boston, I'm telling you, must be about ready to jump off of bridges. So, anyhow. Anything real quick, guys? Anything there that jumped out at you? From what we saw in the power rankings?
Yeah, with Minnesota there, they definitely came back to where they should be. Even they're still maybe a little bit higher, but they definitely fell. And my probably my biggest thing is obviously what it says here, but Toronto, they jumped up to number six. Wow, what a jump there that they had 12 spots. I mean, I realize it's kind of a pointless thing, but still, that's a big jump. In
9-1, it's actually not really all that pointless at all, because when you take a look at AL East, Tampa Bay right now sits atop the AL East, only a game in front of the Yankees, only two games in front of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays right now on a tear, 9-1 in their last 10. So It really isn't insignificant at all. The AL East has turned out to be one of the more competitive divisions in all of baseball right now. So, interesting watching that one go. And we've got a couple of those. I mean, we've talked already about the NL Central as well. It doesn't look like it's competitive when you take a look at St. Louis being 6.5 games in front of Pittsburgh. But still, nonetheless, Pittsburgh is sitting there with a very respectable 36-27 record. But they're 6.5 games out.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. But, you know, this is the craziest thing. But in the past 21 games, the Cardinals and the Pirates have the exact same record. 21 games. So the Pirates cannot,
really?
They cannot, no, 21 straight, exact record. Exact
wow.
Same thing.
So we cannot make
up any ground at all.
You cannot make up ground. And take a look at what the standings look like right now in the AL Central. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and the Cubbies, by the way, who are over 500. Is everybody listening? Because, you know, I don't know how many people are really in touch with the Chicago Cubs. 34-27, they are. But all three of those teams, 7-3 in their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, all three of them. So nobody's gaining ground on anybody, as you point out.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Now, let's talk about another respectable team here for a moment, because it's going to be a nice little segue to bring in my guest. Let's talk about the San Diego Padres team. San Diego, you know, while they're sitting at fourth place in the NL West, are 32-34, and in my opinion, still very much a part of not only the race in the NL West, but certainly a part of, as well, any kind of wild card conversations that you would want to bring in. San Diego, 32-34, as I pointed out, just two games under 500. Yesterday, just one game under 500. They made the decision to fire their manager, Bud Black, who had been there for 9 years. I believe it was 9 seasons. And, well, that prompted me to get in touch with our good buddy, Ryan Willis. And Ryan's out there in San Diego, and I got Ryan on right now with us from the What You Talk About Willis show. Ryan, help us out here. What in the world was the thinking here with the San Diego Padres?
Well, first off, how you doing, Fred House, Mike?
Real good, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem. Well, I'm still trying to figure that out right now. I was pretty surprised to see the Padres fire Buddy Bly this early on in the season. Didn't quite agree with it. I mean, I kind of understand it, I guess, because they are underachieving big time right now. And everyone was saying, you know, when the Padres made all these moves during the offseason, it was like, okay, Buddy needs to win now. You know, he's been here for the last 8 years with no talent, so we've given him a pass. But now he's got all these good players, so he's got to make something work. And it hasn't been working, and I guess upper management and the owners were like, okay, we've seen enough now.
Well, now, what's the sentiment, because you're there on the ground, what's the sentiment from, and you know, look, as I pointed out, and you, I think rightly so, you're making a valid point. We've given him a pass. 9 years, that's a pretty long tenure with one team. Not too many guys are going to get the kind of, what's the word I want? They're not going to get that kind of freebie, that kind of pass, as you're saying, for a guy who only had, I think, two winning seasons in the previous 8. So what's the sentiment from the Padres fan base right now? Are they happy about this, or are they shocked by it? or I don't know. What you tell us?
I would say the fan base is kind of all over the place right now. It was funny because like a week ago, it seemed like 80 to 90% of the fans were saying, fire black, fire black. And then when the announcement came down yesterday, I saw a ton of people posting, oh, man, Buddy Black got fired. That's sad. Oh, man. I'm like, you're the same people that were calling for his head a week ago. So fans are just all over the place right now. And like I said, I was surprised that they decided to fire him this early on in the year. I would have liked to have seen them keep him on for the rest of this year, ride out the year, see how the season turns out. Because, like I said, this is the first year that Buddy's actually had a decent team to work with, some actual talented guys on his team. And I would have liked to have seen what his overall record would have been at the end of the season, not in the middle of June. But, again, like I said, I kind of understand why they would make the move now, because obviously they weren't planning on keeping him beyond this year. It was his contract year, so maybe they were thinking, okay, it's not working out right now. He's made a lot of poor decisions. Let's go and cut him loose right now. We can get a head start on getting some guys in here to interview with, and we can start thinking about who our next manager is going to be. But I would say the fan base right now, like I said, they're just all over the place. Some people are happy about it. Some people don't understand it. And really for me, it's like, well, I'm pretty discouraged with the team in general right now. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs with or without him. So it is what it is. I guess we'll just see what happens with the rest of this year. But it was definitely a surprising move, to say the least.
Okay, well, you're giving me a little bit of information I didn't have before. First of all, I was not aware. Are you saying then Black was working he was managing in the last year of his contract, was he?
Right, right.
Okay, so there's no – basically, there's no obligation on the part of the Padres past this season.
Yeah.
He probably saw their handwriting on the wall himself then, I would think. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, if they would have gotten off to a better start, which everyone kind of thought that they would, then, you know, these discussions wouldn't be happening right now, but – you know, they were just so inconsistent. They have been so inconsistent. I mean, it seems like every time they actually get on like a 2 or 3 game winning streak, then they turn right back around and lose 2 or 3 more in a row, you know, and they just haven't been able to make up any ground. And hovering around 500 the whole year, it's just not going to get it done. You know, the ownership of the Padres is finally saying, okay, enough is enough. You know, we spent all this money to bring in all these great players, and we're still not seeing the results. I mean, something's got to give. And you know, they're not going to fire 25 players, so obviously they're going to fire the one guy they can, and that's the manager.
The other thing that you just mentioned that is kind of shedding a little bit of light, perhaps for myself anyhow, do you take this as a sign that the team has thrown the towel in? Because as I started out, as I introduced you, as you just heard, frankly, I don't know. Should San Diego be counting themselves out? It seems to me they're very much potentially still in the mix in the West. They're only 5 wins out of the win column. I mean, is this more of a situation where San Diego is, in fact, hoping that perhaps maybe this turns it around and now maybe they can rally, maybe get a wild card?
Yeah, I think that's what the Padres are thinking. I think, you know, they're really hoping this is going to maybe create a spark, you know, get the players going, light a fire under their butts, and have them realize that, hey, you know what, this is kind of on us. I mean, yeah, you know, Buddy made some questionable decisions throughout the year that cost him some games, but, you know, ultimately the players have to play better. I mean, they brought over Matt Kemp from the Dodgers, and he has just been an absolute train wreck. I mean, he's having a horrible year. He hit a home run today, but that was only his 3rd home run of the year. I mean, there's guys hitting 8th in other lineups that have as many home runs as Kemp does, and he's been hitting cleanup pretty much all season. So that's just one example. But, you know, I think the Padres still believe they can contend. Like you said, I mean, they're still hovering around 500. You know, if they got on some type of winning streak, you know, they'd be right in the middle of it. But they've just been so inconsistent. But I think this was really more of a decision of, hey, let's fire the manager, bring someone else in, see if they can create a spark, and just kind of go with it from there. But I don't know. They're 0-2 since they fired Buddy, so it's not looking too good for them right now.
I mean, I got to tell you, the sentiment been, as the guys here on my panel know, and probably many, many, many of our listeners know, I listen to Talk Sports all day long, and I try to get around to different segments of the country and what have you. And I got to tell you, from the East Coast, there's a lot of incredulosity about the whole thing. There were a lot of folks speaking out about the Padres' move from yesterday and saying, hey, what are you guys doing? That doesn't make any sense. You're only a game out of a game under 500. Why would you make this move? Jim Rome, in fact, today came out and was actually pretty, really almost lambasted the management of the team. Who have they appointed as the interim manager at the moment?
Well, last night, Dave Roberts was the manager, but then earlier today, before the game started, they announced that they were going to hire Pat Murphy as the interim manager for the rest of the year, and I guess he was the Padres' AAA manager this year, which is something I didn't even know until yesterday. And I guess he also used to coach Arizona State for several years, so he's got managerial experience, but I don't really know a whole lot about him, but apparently it's going to be Murphy the rest of this year. And then they'll see how the season turns out. And I guess they'll decide from there if they want to hire him on permanently or if they want to go in another direction.
Okay. So we can expect that there probably won't be any other additional shakeups. We're going to ride with our AAA guy, and we're going to see whether he can turn things around with this team, maybe get them into a wild card conversation. That should be the Padres' line of thinking. I don't know whether it is or not, obviously. You don't either, I guess. But that would be my thinking. You know, let's try to go for a wild card. All right. Well, anyhow, a little bit of a surprise there. Let me get your thought real quick, since I got you here, on a couple other things. We haven't gotten into it yet. We're going to probably get into it, I would think, in depth here, but we'll let you kick it off. Obviously, the big story that broke in Major League Baseball, Hackgate. Yeah. Of course, everything's got to have a gate on it. St. Louis Cardinals apparently are being investigated criminally by the FBI and the Justice Department, for God's sake, into whether.
Holy
smokes! Yeah. Into whether they, in fact, illegally tampered with and gained information from proprietary files on the Houston Astros database in their network. I don't know. Ryan, what do you make of it? You're laughing.
I think the strangest thing about all this is that the Cardinals went after the Astros of all teams. You know, it wasn't the Cubs, their rivals. It wasn't the Pirates, who are actually a good team. You know, they went after the Astros. I understand the Astros are having a good year this year, but, you know, the Astros have been losers for, what, the last 5, 6, 7 years now?
Yep.
And that was really what stood out to me. It's like, wow, you're going to go after the Astros? I mean, geez. But, yeah, I mean, that's just such a bizarre story. I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest with you. Because, you know, the Cardinals, they're very well-respected around baseball. I mean, everybody always says, oh, the Cardinals, you know, they're the class of baseball. You know, such a classy organization. You know, their fans are the best, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden this story comes out, and it's like, whoa, where the hell did this come from? So, I really don't know what to make of it. I really honestly don't. I mean, I don't know if they really gained much of an advantage by doing this. I know that, I guess part of the reason why they did it is because the Astros general manager used to work for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, there was some ill feelings between some people with the Cardinals and between the Astros general manager. But, yeah, I don't really know what else to think of it. But if this is true, I have to imagine that Major League Baseball is going to come down pretty heavy on the Cardinals with punishments.
For the conspiracy theorists out there, and I'm not claiming to be one, but let me throw a conspiracy theory out there just for the fun of it, because, well, hey, that's what we do here on talk radio. don't we now, Ryan? You know all about it, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just pointed out, as so many do, the Cardinals are the class act of Major League Baseball. And listen, rightfully so, we do look up to them. A lot of teams do. They're the model, really, for what a good team probably should be and how to manage them and how to put them together, how to manage contracts, how to manage personnel. They do a great job. They do a fantastic job. Just when you think the Cardinals are probably down and out, well, guess what? They're going to retool their team and come right back at you next year with a potentially World Series type of team. So, rightfully so. And in that, they have kind of a, well, can we say New England Patriot kind of feel to them? Isn't it interesting how we have the two teams in sports right now that have recently come under gate-type scandals that leave us sitting scratching our head? Just a conspiracy theorist on my part, just throwing it out there. I don't know if anybody wants to comment. I don't know.
That's a good point. I mean, the Patriots, you know, they've been one of the most winningest team over the last 10-plus years in the NFL, and we've had all kinds of stuff come out with them, with cheating, Spygate, Deflategate. And now all of a sudden this comes out with the Cardinals, who have been like the class of the major leagues for the last 10-plus years. It's like, wow. I mean, are there any, like, well-respected, like, teams that do it the right way anymore that actually can win?
Is this really a big deal? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, like, I'm gonna tell you right now, I know that for the next number of weeks, because this thing's going to blow up. I think we all know it. Every one of us sitting here tonight, as this story has broken this morning, we all know this thing is going to blow up. It's going to get spun out of control for the next number of months. We're going to hear about Hackgate probably until, how much you want to bet we're going to hear about it right up until about Thanksgiving? This thing is just going to continue to go. But is it really a big deal?
Well, I mean, considering that the FBI showed up to their doorstep, I would say it is. But maybe when it's all said and done, it won't end up being that big of a deal. But I would say anytime the FBI shows up at your door, that's usually not a good thing.
I would agree with that. Anytime that happens, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, okay, I guess I didn't mean it that way. I guess if, you know, if I got Elliot Ness, you know, busting through the door, I guess maybe it is kind of a big deal. But is Elliot Ness really making it this more than it actually is? I guess maybe that was the way I should have phrased the question. But I don't know. Maybe it's just too early for all of this. And maybe we just don't have enough information. See, the problem I have with it is that I'm concerned that as we wait on information, the information is going to get spun in one direction or another, and suddenly then we as fans are going to get an obfuscation of it, we're going to get an overdose of it, many of us are going to get to the point where we're not going to give a damn anymore about it. You know, it's kind of like talking about, you know, properly inflated footballs, for God's sake. I mean, seriously, after a while it just became inane.
I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I just don't know whether it's really all that big a deal. As we pointed out, I mean, we're talking about the Astros here. And evidently the information coming out now is that some of it was for a purposeful reason. It became personal. This was about a former general manager who had gone over and gone to work for the Astros, and it pissed up some people off over in the Cardinals. Now we're hearing, too, already, well, it really wasn't a hack because guess what? They never changed their password. So somebody had access to a password that never got changed. I, you know, this is what I'm saying. I'm really wondering whether this is, you know, is it a major issue or is it a lot to do about nothing? But anyhow, you know, what's going to be curious is to see how Rob Manfred deals with it. I think that's what's going to be interesting because we've got a whole new commissioner here. And that's what's going to be curious to see is how he responds to this sort of thing. But one more for you there, Ryan, before I let you go. A lot of talk right now about what's going on with the All-Star voting, All-Star balloting, particularly over on the American League side with the Kansas City Royals. Some have speculated that perhaps maybe Major League Baseball will be stepping in and changing the procedure for this as a result of the fact that, well, hey, we want to talk about hacking. It seems to me that the Kansas City Royals fans have hacked the system, huh? any thoughts on, you know what I think? This is just my personal opinion. I'm going to throw it out there right now. Apparently, this was the first year where you could not vote in person at any of your ballparks. You know, I remember years ago back in the mid-90s, you would have the little punch cards, and you'd sit there. You probably saw those, Ryan. You probably remember those. And you'd sit there, and they'd pass them out at the top of the aisle and then come back, you know, like in the sixth inning and collect them back from you. Well, that's not
right.
Happening. It's all online. And I think if you have the online available with other measures of voting, wouldn't that kind of balance it? I don't understand. I never understood why they went to the all-online voting to begin with. But I don't know. Any thoughts on this kind of a mess? It kind of is a mess, although I think the managers will sort it out, won't they?
Yeah, I don't know. That is really an interesting story that's going on with the Royals. I guess they're up to 8 of the 9 starters now are from the Royals, I think it is now. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of the fans getting a vote to begin with. I just wish that the manager, whoever the manager is, would just pick the entire team. That's the way I would have it do, because the fan, it's a popularity contest. That's all it is. And, you know, like you said, maybe the Royals fans, they found a way to hack into the system. Because, I mean, how do you explain 8 of the 9 starters are all from the same team? I mean, I don't think that's ever happened before. So I think Manfred should definitely come in and do something about this, because, I don't know, that to me is just like a major turnoff. Because I love the All-Star game, but I don't want to turn it on and see 8 guys from the same team in the starting lineup. I don't want to see 8 guys from the same team, you know, on the All-Star team. And that's just way too many guys from one team. So hopefully they can do something about this, because I honestly don't even know if I'll be watching it if it stands the way it is right now.
Interesting.
I would agree with that. Yep.
Here's my thing about it, though, is that, like, I think, like, the All-Star game is meant to be for the fans. I mean, I know, like, in this sort of situation where there's 8 out of 9 players from the same team, maybe people from, like, other teams just aren't participating as much in the all online or whatever. But when it really comes down to it, I mean, the All-Star game is a game for the fans. It does absolutely nothing for the MLB itself. Like, the numbers don't matter for the players or anything like that. So I don't think the fans' vote should be taken out completely, because, there's people that want to see the players that they want to see in the game. They don't want to see a team of just guys put together by whatever manager. I mean, if you like a certain guy and you want him to be in the All-Star game, then you're going to vote for him. And if you don't see him and you didn't really have a say in it, I mean, that could be a turnoff for the fans as far as the All-Star game is concerned.
Right. And you know, the other thing, though, that comes to my mind as well, you know, as we're sitting here talking about this is, you know, evidently this is a clear case of stuffing the ballot box. That's what we've got going on here. Well, you know, here's my response. If some Detroit Tigers fans out there are annoyed by this, that their guy's not getting recognized, well, then you know what? Rally your people and go stuff the ballot box yourself, because evidently Kansas City could do it. Well, then your fan base is capable of doing it as well. And the last time I checked, Detroit's a slightly larger market than Kansas City.
And I think you should limit to how many times you can vote as well. I think the max is, like, what, 35 times?
35, yeah, from the same
I think that's just way too many. Like, I understand, like, wanting to keep it the way it is, like, the fans could still vote. I understand that. But I think voting 35 times is just way too many. I think it should just be, like, I don't know, 5 times maybe. I think that would be a lot better.
Well, you know, I remember, like I said, you know, I used to go down. I had a Sunday season ticket plan back in to my Philadelphia Phillies here back in 90. Oh, I almost hate to admit it. Let's see. 95, 96, 97. Boy, those were the good years. Not. I guess maybe that's why I had the Sunday plan, because it was easy to get. But, you know, I remember, you know, like I said, we'd get the old punch cards. You know, the whole hanging Chad sort of thing. You know, you'd sit there and you'd punch them out. I'd sit there. I would punch out. I'd punch out 4 or 5 at a time and go drop them in the local box, you know, on my way out the door as I was leaving. But, you know, I think the internet has just made it way too convenient. Way too convenient.
So maybe they should just have it to where you, if you want to vote, you actually have to be at the ballpark and fill out one of those punch cards, like you're saying, and just completely get rid of the online voting.
Or go to a kiosk. Have kiosks available at the ballpark. Have authorized kiosks available at each of the ballparks. You got to be present for a game, which means you have to be, you know, a ticket buying. You have to be for at least one game, at least one. We're not saying you have to be a season ticket. You know, at least one game, you got to go down to the ballpark, show your fandom by going to the ballpark, and then you get at the kiosk and you, how about that? Look at there. We solved the problem right here on Frat House Sports. Ryan,
I love it.
Thank you very much.
Let's get Manfred on the phone.
Absolutely. I appreciate you being here, man. We just solved the whole damn problem. This is awesome.
No. We figured it out. I don't want to take all the credit.
Oh, Ryan Willis has been joining us from San Diego. Ryan, talk to us about your program. How's it going, man?
These are going well. Still working for College Primetime Radio over here. And if you would like to listen to any of my shows, you can find them on iTunes or Podbean, or you can even just look us up at collegeprimetime.com, and it's got a whole list of my shows on there.
Very good. And Twitter, it's, help me out here, Wacky Willis 90?
Yes, you got it.
Wacky Willis 90, folks. What are you waiting for? Come on, you got to follow a guy that starts out his Twitter name is Wacky, huh? He fits right in with Frat House Sports. Are you kidding me? All right, Ryan Willis, thank you very much. Ryan, we appreciate you being here with us tonight.
All right, no problem. All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
You got it. All right, that was great. Ryan's a good friend of ours from here at Frat House Sports, and I appreciate him jumping in with us. And for some reason, there we go. Okay. I was having a little difficulty disconnecting. All right. Now, look, I jumped into a couple of topics there with Ryan that I want to jump in with you guys as well, obviously. And let's go right to the top of it. Let's go to this issue that today broke. You know, obviously, when we get a guest in here, I gotta get him to get his, you know, I gotta get somebody like Ryan to give us his comments on it. But let's get your guys' thoughts on this whole situation with Hackgate. And of course, obviously, right now, I think a lot of us, all three of us, probably are going to sit here and say, "Well, where's Nick when we need him? It's early." You know, that's what we're going to say. We're going to say it's early. We kind of have to wait until, you know, the dust settles a little bit here, because we're getting way too much probably at this point misinformation, if we're getting any information at all. But first blush on the surface of it, go ahead, Caleb, weigh in. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of confusing. First off, why would a winning franchise like St. Louis hack, or whatever you want to call it, hack, whatever, into the Houston Astros organization that's not a necessarily winning franchise yet? You know, they're still kind of in a rebuilding type of a phase here, and so I'm just really confused by that. Why would they do that now? Maybe, you know, it's to get back at somebody or to, you know, whatever. I'm not sure. But it just doesn't quite make sense as to why they would actually do that. Because like you guys were saying, you know, the Patriots, they have kind of done the same type of a thing. But it was against their competition that was actually their competition.
Right.
To try to get the upper hand to try to win that game. And so this whole thing here just doesn't really add up. And like we've also said, we don't have everything yet. Everything is not out. It has just happened this afternoon, so we're kind of still in the dark on what's all happened. So I'm still kind of waiting it out to kind of form an opinion and to make it an educated one, because –
yep.
I could say something and I could be totally off. And so that's just really confusing for me here is just like, okay, well, what are the facts? Like, I don't want to, like, I just want to know, like, what actually happened so I can say, hey, I think of this because this happened and so on and so forth. So it's just, I'm still kind of, again, kind of confused as to why they would look into a kind of a no-name organization, so to say, like the Astros, when they're the top dog, so to say, in baseball here.
I guess what is confusing me, and say, you know, I go back to this repeatedly. You know, this has always been my thought with things like Spygate. You know, people made a big deal about Spygate. Oh, this is terrible. They're stealing plays. They're being able to see the plays. Who cares? Who cares? They're going to see it in the game. What does it matter? What does it matter whether you're – all right, so you got that. You get to, I don't know, underinflating a ball. Everybody makes it out like as if it's a we're talking pounds and pounds, like this thing is freaking deflated. We're talking about, you know, minuscule amounts of air. Seriously, I don't know if it really affected the game all that much.
No,
we're talking here about, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about the fact that potentially St. Louis had access to, let's get it straight, guys, it's basically personnel information. It was scouting information. Isn't that what scouts are for? Well, then really, is this really giving them a leg up? Oh, they've got access to proprietary information. Come on, please. Please, there are scouts out there all the time. You can get somebody scouting. What you can get one player being scouted by as many as 10 different teams. What do you think? Those scouts don't get together at some point that maybe they go down and they're chatting with the guy and they go, hey, what do you think of that? Now, I'm the scout from I don't know, the Detroit Tigers, and I'm chatting with a scout from a different team, from the Baltimore Orioles. And we're comparing notes. Well, what are you seeing here? What are you seeing? Well, I got to put my report together for my team. Come on. What do you think? These guys don't share information?
Yeah, I mean,
this is what I'm saying. I just don't know if this really is that big a deal. All right.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's going to happen? People are going to come back at me and they're going to get on my butt about this and they're going to say, "Well, Mike, it's not about the information they got. It's about the way that they went about acquiring it." All right.
Putting in my input on
go
that
ahead.
Trials, Mike.
Go ahead.
That's exactly where I'm going to sit on it, is the fact that, you know, like, it's the concept of actually going out and finding the information for yourself instead of going through someone else's system to find that information. I mean, like, obviously, you know, if you've got two different scouts from a team going – sharing a bit of information, like seeing what they found, blah, 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 whatever. Okay, like that's going to happen. Guys are going to talk. But when you're actually going into someone's system, like taking the information without that team possibly knowing about it, I mean, like, then that's where I get into, you know, it's not exactly a moral decision. And it's like, I mean, the other thing is it's very early. We don't know, like, what's been going on. But you can also, like, maybe we can, in such a winning team over the past decade, it could have been because they have been doing this sort of thing for a very long time, like hacking into other people's scouting reports without them knowing, finding out a little bit of information that might not seem, you know, that big to an outsider, but for a team, like, if you're looking for a specific player and you find a team who's got a scouting report on a guy that you hadn't had your eyes on, you know, like, maybe that's going to change the game a little bit for you.
Well, sure.
However,
it might give me a leg up to go take a look at the guy a little bit closer myself. Or the other thing it might do is it might give me the opportunity to block a team from acquiring that particular player.
Mm-hmm. That too. I mean, if you drag a guy into your farm system that you don't necessarily need, but you're taking him away from your competition, I mean, like, that to me is cheating, no matter which way you put it. But I have a feeling that by the time this story actually comes about and they find out enough information to talk about it, I feel like I'm going to be very disinterested. And I found myself doing the same thing with the Flategate.
Mm-hmm.
Is because, like, when it first came up, it's like, all right, like, it was a relevant topic, whatever. But then by the time the Super Bowl was over, like, I was already over it. I was already over Deflategate by the time the Super Bowl was over.
Exactly. So, and then it just exploded, and then you're like, well, I really don't care because I'm just, like, I'm completely over it. Like, it is a football's air pressure. Like, get over it. So,
by the time the story broke out about what actually happened, and you know they did end up fining Brady and suspending him,
mm-hmm.
It's like I didn't even care. I didn't care enough to even give the story like an eye at all. So I feel like the same thing's going to happen here. Is you know like is it cheating? Yes, but am I going to care by the time the story gets found out and? You know, like, everything's already happened, everything's already in the past. Like, I'm not going to care enough to pay this story any mind.
Well, I kind of insinuated that to Ryan, who we just had on, where I said to him, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if we're still talking about this situation come Thanksgiving. Because we know, you know, the only thing I can hope is that you know, Rob Manfred is not does not operate the same. Does not model his. excuse me. his investigative operations does not model them after Roger Goodell. That's the only thing I can hope, because for gosh sake, this will get drug on forever and ever and ever. You know, dragging something out like that. Let's get it straight, guys. It has a benefit in some respect to the league. Because as you just pointed out, Sean, I find it actually amusing. You're saying, well, you know, finally by the time this thing actually ever gets resolved, I really won't give a darn. Well, then that maybe that's basically what the league wants is, listen, we'll drag this one out for a long time. By the time things come around, they'll have all forgotten about it anyhow. So, I don't know. I still go back to my initial question, and I guess, again, you know, this is all, we're talking about this less than 24 hours after it all broke. So, like I said, I hate to sound like Nick, but it's early, and it's a bit premature. But look, let's get, we got Rick on deck in here, so I want to get Rick on deck in here and get his thoughts on this. Rick, is this a big deal or isn't it? I just sent the Twitter poll out, and I asked the question at Frat House Mike. People can go there and check it out, and it looks like I already got some notifications. Anyhow, is the Major League Baseball Cardinals Hackgate controversy a quote major issue or two? A lot to do about nothing. What do you think, Rick?
Hey, Frat House Mike. Hey, I'm gonna take the tack that. At this point in time, it's not a big deal. There's a couple things that have to come out before it becomes a big deal. You do have a high-profile organization and one that is kind of the model for Major League Baseball. So that's a little frightening there because if you know this thing did turn into something big, I mean, I think that would have an impact on at least the look of the game, at least in the short term. But at this point, it sounds like, you know, the motive could be a personal motive. So in my mind, knowing that little fact, it's likely that it could be like an isolated incident within the organization. So for me, it's important to find out, first of all, what the motive was for doing it. And secondly, how high up in the organization does it go? I mean, the difference with, you know, some of the things that the Patriots have been accused of is that you've got your head guy, at least as far as football goes, and the head coach, Bill Belichick, being the one who's kind of masterminding these, you know, scenarios where they're either videotaping or whatever. You know, if this is a scout, or somebody, you know, in management that had a, you know, felt that a bridge was burned and they're trying to get back
And it's kind of like, okay, you know, it's difficult to paint the whole St. Louis organization with that brush. But if this was an organized effort to say, hey, because the one thing that I heard is that, well, it's only the Astros. But maybe that was their test run. You know, nobody's going to care about the Astros. And if this is high up in the organization, say, hey, can we get away with this? You know, let's try it out on some team that nobody's going to care about, you know. And so I think that we need more information. And I think it really, to me, it matters how high up in the organization and how many people in the organization knew about this.
Now, I'm trying to look through some of the articles that have come out here today. And I think the allegations date back to 2011, which was just 4 years ago. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I wouldn't discount the Houston Astros in 2011. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you could discount the Houston Astros from perhaps maybe their team record that they fielded on a ball field that year. But certainly, that was a team, take a look at where they are right now, that didn't happen overnight. 2011, right. Maybe 2012, that was a team that was up and coming to where they are now. So potentially, perhaps, maybe having some information from a team like that, I don't think it's a situation where people could just see so easily say, well, it's just the Houston Astros.
Right.
Now I'm playing devil's advocate, mind you. I'm sitting here and I'm playing devil's advocate because I don't know, you know, before I get called out and people say, well, Mike, now you sound like you're taking the other side. No, what I'm doing is I'm playing devil's advocate because that's my job as a host.
Right. I think that bears back on a point that was made that if this is all scouting information, because I agree with you. I think in 2011, the important thing about the Houston Astros was their farm system and the young guys they had coming up and the young guys they were starting to play at the major league level. So if that's scouting information, it's like you can send scouts to ballparks to scout players.
Right.
You know, so to me, it's like, what was the motive behind doing that? It doesn't really seem like there's a big end game there.
Some of it also has come out today that apparently talk about, you know, what was the motive? Well, the motive was I can, so I will.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently some of it is being indicated that somebody apparently had access to passwords that had not been changed with regime changes. There were regime changes, I forget, I guess with the Astros is what it was. There was a regime change there. And, you know, someone got access to a password that was then turned over to the Cardinals. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, now, look, let's get it straight, guys. Seriously, we may not do anything with it, but I got to be honest with you. I might be tantalized. I might be tempted if somebody gave me a password to, I don't know, the Philadelphia Phil's scouting department. I might be tempted to go in and just see what some of the files are that they might have in there just for fun myself tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I might be tempted to do that just to go see. Hey, let's go see what they're looking at. You know, let me
right.
go see what this guy is that they just drafted the other week. Let me see what the scouting report actually reads on this guy rather than what the information I'm getting from the media. So, you know, what was the end game? The end game could have been, hey, I can, so I will. You know,
yep.
It might have been nothing more than that. So,
but I want to go back to a point that Rick on Deck made, which was the fact that, you know, this could have also been a thought of how much can we get away with or what can we get away with? It's like you have the password. You're like, okay, like, you know, we're just trying it out. And maybe it's just hacking into the scouting report. That could have been easily done with your own scouts. All right, fine. But if this is a situation where it's like, all right, if we can get away with this, maybe it's not scouting reports within the next couple of years. Maybe it's more classified information about those teams that you can get away with, and you take it step by step until you get to that point, getting away with this for however many years it could have been. I mean, you know, yes, it could have been a situation where it's like, oh, we can, so we will. But maybe it's also a motive where, well, if we can and we do and we get away with it, maybe we can do even more eventually, like, you know, pull someone from the higher-ups of maybe a more important team into our system, and maybe he has an unchanged password that you can just so conveniently use to get into more classified information than just a bunch of scouting reports.
Okay, here's the question I'm going to throw out there, though. If I have access to a password that allows me to gain access to an IT system simply because of the fact that the proprietor of that IT system was not vigilant enough to change their passwords when they should have, is that criminal or is that just unethical?
You're really throwing a curveball at me, because I want to say that it's just unethical, but that's going to go completely against everything that I'm trying to stand for here.
Well, I like doing that. See, that's my job, as I pointed out.
Exactly. Because it's like, you know, like I'd like to stand by my point that this could turn into something a lot worse than just getting a bunch of scouting reports. And, I mean, definitely unethical, the whole criminal aspect. I mean, again, it's going to be hard to tell. Like, maybe if more information came out and, you know, like, there was some sort of, you know, finagling where the password wasn't changed because someone was, you know, working on the inside or whatever. I mean, like, there's got to be more information to come out. But, yeah, I mean, you're really throwing me off a little bit here. I don't like going against, you know, like completely reverting back and saying, well, my entire point was wrong. But, you know, I do like to stand by that. I think there might be a little more here than the initial reports are saying.
That's the whole point of talk radio. That's what we do. So, I mean, listen, sometimes I have to back off, too, when somebody I'm not sitting here patting myself on the back. I'm saying, does this need to be – do we really need the FBI and the Justice Department involved in this? I mean, when I'm hearing that this morning, I'm sitting there going, really? My eyes are rolling. We've got the FBI and the Justice Department involved in a situation with the – not Homeland Security. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about tracking down these two guys that broke out of jail from up there. What was it, in New York? No, we're talking about the St. Louis Cardinals getting a scouting report. Are you kidding me? Caleb, jump in here. Is this criminal or is this just unethical?
That's a tough thing to. I don't even know. I mean, it all really depends on, you know, how much they actually did get. You know, if it's just some, hey, we think this guy's gonna be, you know, good because he has a decent bat, he has a really good arm, he can field. You know, yeah, you shouldn't, you know, hack into somebody to have that information. But if it's just that, then yeah, I think it's just an unethical thing that, like, all right, you need to learn on your own and you need to get it from your own people instead of trying to hack somebody else to try to get all of their work so that you don't have to, or you can get a leg up or whatever. But if they did go further and further and further into this, then yeah, I think it would be some sort of a criminal charge in that they found some classified information, which I'm not sure what that would exactly entail other than scouting reports and what they think and maybe possible trades that they have in the works, or they like a player that they want to try to trade for or something like that. That's a little bit higher up, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, it all kind of really, for me, I think it's more of an unethical way of trying to find your information than it is a criminal activity. But, again, we don't know exactly what they all did. So it could be a lot. It could be horrible, and we're like, oh, this is like they did a lot of things. Or it's like, oh, you had a password, and that's it. And there's nothing else. They're just making this a giant thing out of absolutely nothing. It's like somebody hacked to Facebook account. Oh, no, they have all of their secrets. It's a fake. Like, that's not going to do any good.
I'm sitting over here, and I'm kind of snickering and laughing a little bit because, listen, you know, anybody that listens to this program on a regular basis knows that there isn't a bigger sports fan probably out there than myself. I'm passionate. I'm incredibly passionate about sports. But for God's sake, folks, it's sports. Yeah, I even have to tell myself, I have to remind myself that sometimes, that, hey, Mike, it's sports. When we start using words like classified, we're not talking about launch codes here.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Guys, we're talking about player personnel information. What are we getting? We getting social security numbers? I don't think so. That's not giving anybody a leg up. I mean, I don't know. I mean, classified yeah. information about teams. It's sports, folks. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. I put the Twitter question out there. You know, is it a major issue or is it a lot to do about nothing? And if anybody's getting the impression that I frankly think it's a lot to do about nothing, well, you might be right. I think that might be where I'm coming down on it.
I'm with you on that one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Rick on deck, any final thoughts on this one before we...
No, not on that one, but I do have a kind of like a parting comment on the conversation that was going on about the San Diego Padres. I think that is a tale that everybody should heed, because especially the sports fans in Philadelphia that are so, you know, so quick to want to buy the best talent out there, or, you know, this person's not building the team the right way, or, you know, we should do this or that or the other. There's been a lot of teams that have tried to build championship teams in a lot of different ways. And the fact of the matter is only one of them wins at the end of the year. And a lot of these, you know, kind of like quick fix type of attempts usually end up in failure. I will say one thing about the Padres, though. To fire Bud Black after he's had like a couple of months with virtually half of his team brand new, that's just not fair to Bud Black. And I don't know, it sounds like they have ulterior motives to what they were doing. But I think that, you know, it usually takes more than a couple months for a team of new people to gel together. And I would venture to say that you don't reap those benefits the first year that those teams are together, but usually, you know, an additional year down the road. So I think Bud Black was given the short end of the stick, although there may have been ulterior motives, considering he's only, you know, had two winning seasons in eight. So,
well, yeah, interesting observation. You made a couple of very, very good, valid points there. Let me back you up on that, and I think
sure.
You know, I can even cite some history. I think that you might be able to back up yourself. You know, the teams that invariably go out there and try to buy a team for a year, a la, we saw it a couple of years ago with the Toronto Blue Jays, a la, we saw it a couple of years ago with the Miami Marlins, a la,
yep.
We see it constantly with the New York Yankees. And yeah, while the Yankees do have some success, it's never sustainable, it seems.
Nope.
The teams that are the slow burn, a la Kansas City Royals, now that we're seeing. You're seeing the Houston Astros starting to move up. Look at the Minnesota Twins. These are surprise teams, feel-good surprise teams. You know, as Americans, we love the underdog. We like the slow burn. We don't want the quick fix. The quick fix invariably doesn't work. With Bud Black's situation, Rick, he was there for nine seasons, or eight and a half, for all intent and purpose, almost a half. I mean, really? You think he got the short end of that one?
Well,
listen, I don't think too many teams are going to hold out with a manager for 8.5 years and only have two seasons.
Yeah, and I agree with that point that I think Bud Black had plenty of time to demonstrate what his capabilities are. I'm just saying that if the reason for them firing Bud Black is because he didn't take this team and be, you know, wasn't more successful with this team because they went out and spent a lot of money, I think that that's, you know, the wrong reason to fire a manager. I think if you're looking back at his history and saying he's only won, you know, had two winning seasons out of eight and hasn't made the playoffs, then that's a legitimate reason for firing him. But from what I was hearing, it sounded like, you know, it could be one of these things where they're trying to, you know, kickstart this group of guys. If you're trying to kickstart the group of guys by firing the manager, you've got the wrong group of guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, good point. I might agree with you there on that one. All right. Rick on Deck, we appreciate you jumping in with us as usual.
It's always fun.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. Always fun. Is make sure, as I always say, make sure you get out there and let all your friends know to continue following us here. All right, Rick, thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
All right, you got it. Yeah. All righty, let me throw the number out here again. Please, we've run right through things. With our guest Ryan Willis going over all the stuff going on in San Diego and now getting over on the, well, you know, and look, the bottom line is I'm not going to apologize. This was a big story when it broke this morning. We had to kind of get into this one a little bit on this St. Louis Cardinals thing. At least we're assuming it's going to be a big story. As I pointed out, I think we could be hearing about this one for, unfortunately, we could be hearing about this one for quite some months. If anybody else wants to jump in with us, please, on anything we've talked about up to this point, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. Or jump into the chat room. I see we've got some guests in there right now. I'm going to bring up a couple of their comments here momentarily. Jump in there over on Blog Talk Radio. Or hit me up, if you wish, over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. I'm getting some reverb here, guys. I'm not quite sure who it might be coming from. I don't know. A little jumping around there. Let me go a couple of things. I'm looking at the time here, and I'm going, okay, we got about 20 minutes, and we got a couple of things we need to get through here, but... let me get into one other real quick topic here because it is timely and we only have about 2 weeks left to it. And it was one that I brought up with Ryan when we had him on there, guys. Nick and I got into it quite a bit. Excuse me. I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Talking about the All-Star balloting. And there have been numerous reports now that have come out this past week about the problems with the All-Star balloting. A number of players, who was it? Detroit Tigers, a guy from the Detroit Tigers there, hold on a second, actually came out and publicly stated, listen, this whole system stinks and it's broken. And
that was David Price there.
There you go.
Tigers.
Thank you. Yep, thank you very much, Sean. We've already talked about it a little bit. We're seeing this overrun by Kansas City fans that are sitting there probably going to max capability on as many computers as they possibly can. Since they're going by IP address, I'm not quite sure exactly how they're doing that. Apparently that's the case. They're supposed to be going by IP address. So it's not a matter of just creating separate accounts, you know, from your home and then doing it that way because they're able to track the IP address, apparently. I don't know. But nonetheless, what we're seeing is we're seeing the Kansas City fans coming out in droves and voting for their people while the rest of everybody else is kind of sitting back and going, oh, well. And then everybody's kind of sitting around after the fact and whining about it. Hey, I mean, you know, does whining do any good or is this simply a matter of, you know, ignite your fan base to go do the same thing that theirs is doing, right? Wouldn't that make sense?
See, I talked about it a little bit earlier when Ryan was on, but I do really think if everyone has the ability to vote 35 times, then it's not like the voting is unfair. I mean, it's just as easy for one person from one team to sit down and vote 35 times as it is for another fan of another team to sit down and vote 35 times. I mean, it goes back to the phrase you were using earlier. It's like, well, if you can, you should, and you will. So if you can vote 35 times, why aren't you voting 35 times? Why are you sitting back and whining about it instead of doing something about it?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Now 35 times could be a little bit excessive, but it's available to everyone. Everyone has the ability to vote 35 times, not just the Kansas City fans. So if you're rallying your team fans to go out and put your 35 votes out per person, then it's not necessarily an unfair system. I mean, you'll see a lot of high numbers, but if people were all voting the 35 times, whether it be one time or whether it be 35 times, the numbers should come out to the same ratio, technically. So, I really don't think it's a problem of, you know, like a hacked or a broken voting system. I think it comes down to, you know, the fans themselves. And maybe that's a reason to change it from the fans voting for it. But at the same time, I'll go back to what I said earlier, is that the All-Star game is for the fans. And if the fans want to see someone in the All-Star game, then they should be going out and voting for that person to be in the All-Star game.
You had mentioned that earlier with when we had Ryan on. And I agree with you 100%, Sean, that I don't know if I want to see fan voting completely eliminated. Because I, like you, agree that, and I was actually a little bit surprised when Ryan brought it up and said, you know, well, maybe this shouldn't be a fan thing anyhow. Maybe it should be a manager thing, and the manager should pick them. Well, I don't know. This is an exhibition game, and it's supposed to be a fun all-star exhibition game. And then that means then who's deciding the all-stars? You know, the managers or the fans? And I think the fans really should be the ones to do it. Now, you know, I've brought up the history of this before because for years and years and years, the decision on the all-star game was always in the fans' hands. They took it out of the fans' hands, I want to say, in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere in there. And they, whatever system they tried back then, I don't know what it was. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't had a chance to research and find out exactly what the system was they used. But whatever they tried didn't work. And so they gave it back to the fans again in like 1964 or 65, something like that. And it's been there. It's been that way ever since. I think this is a situation where right now it's just become very, very easy to stuff the ballot box. But go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is if we put it into the hands of the manager, you think the manager's not going to have a little bit of a bias in choosing the players that are in the All-Star game? I mean, he could end up picking his entire team to be in the All-Star game or pick there's managers like, oh, I coach this guy and I like him. So it's like, I mean, there's not going to be a completely unbiased by that manager. I don't think you can sit here and say that.
With due fairness to the managers, I will say this. Now, let's keep this one straight. Let's get this one straight. And Caleb, help me out here. Correct me if I'm wrong. You might know a little bit more about what the rules and regulations are here on the All-Star selection. Obviously, what the fans are choosing here is the first team All-Stars. Now, look, what are we choosing? We're choosing one first baseman, one second baseman, one third baseman, both teams, both the American League and National League teams, are not going to Cincinnati this year with just one third baseman, shortstop, one first baseman. They're not going with one. There's going to be two, three, four. If I'm not mistaken, isn't the rest of the roster filled out by the manager?
I'm pretty sure it is. I definitely know that like the final, you know, couple of positions, they are filled. Like there's some sort of an injury, then that manager says, hey, I want you or you, but I'm pretty sure that other than the starting nine, then the manager chooses, and they usually choose based off of who gets voted, you know, and who they think is the most deserving and, you know, those things. So, I mean, I think that, you know, there could be kind of a balance here to where the manager makes the overall choice, but we still get our say in it, but the manager just makes the final say. So it's kind of like we make a suggestion for him, like, hey, I want this one pitcher to – so – but, again, it's for the fans. Like, Sean, he had said this, and, you know, it's for the fans, so it's kind of hard to take it out of their hands because this is for us to watch and to enjoy, to see the home – just to see the home run derby and to see the game, because it's supposed to be fun to see the best guys head-to-head trying to go at it. And so it's kind of a tough thing to say, hey, we should have it all kind of on a committee basis or all of it on the fans.
And, Caleb, there's a point in there that I want to kind of touch on that I think – kind of goes along with the point I was making, was the fact that the managers pick the players who were voted by the fans. Again, like, it's like, all right, they weren't voted into the starting nine, but they're kind of a little bit like suggestions to, you know, who mm-hmm. the manager should pick. And if the decision is put solely on the managers, there's no basis to go on as far as fan favorites and things like that. So that's where I think you can get into some sort of a bias where the managers
yeah.
are picking more just picking players that they want on their team instead of kind of, you know, choosing more on the lines of what the fans are looking for out of the game.
Exactly.
This is the first year that I remember where it has been, at least in some positions, lopsidedly incorrect. Because the vast majority of time that we've ever seen this occur in the All-Star voting, generally, and look, let's get it straight. All-star voting basically is based upon offensive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the pitching crew, which is not decided, let's understand that one. The fans don't pick the pitchers. The pitchers are chosen by the manager. So, but when it comes to the outfield, the infield, okay, the catcher, we're deciding those, and for the most part, those are based upon offensive numbers. This is the first year that I can remember in all of my years following Major League Baseball that in a couple of occasions, and not all of them, mind you, not all of them, but in a couple of positions, you've got a lopsided, oh no, that's wrong. As you guys just pointed out, all right, while the fans might be choosing the first team All-Stars, those managers are going to go to the second choice to put on their squad as well. They're also going to be represented. They're going to be there. I'm going to tell you right now that I give high marks and high praise to the managers of the All-Star teams. I think they do a very, very good job of balancing teams. Mark my words when I tell you, we are going to see at least one, I'd be very surprised if we don't, you're going to see at least one representative of the Philadelphia Phils on the National League team. Now, obviously the one that comes to my mind immediately is Cole Hamels. But you're going to see at least one. Now, maybe if Sean and I go out and use our 35 votes, we might be able to get, you know, Chase Utley a sniff, although I doubt it. But I think they do a pretty good job. I really do. I think they do a very good job of it. And, you know, the fans in the past have done a very, very good job, in the most part, of picking the right players. You know, if the numbers, if it's offense that we're going to base the All-Star upon, well, then generally the fans are dead on because it balances out. I really believe that this year the difference has been it being internet-based only. I really believe that's been the difference.
And I do think, you know, that the lopsidedness of this year's All-Star voting so far, there definitely needs to be some investigation into what exactly happened. But in the end of this whole situation, I don't think the voting should be taken completely out of the fans' hands. I think that's my final point on the situation. There should definitely be an investigation on what exactly happened, like why the numbers are the way they are. But all in all, the fans should be the ones voting people into the All-Star game.
I would, I like it that way. I would agree with you. I think it should remain that way. This may be a simple fix, and I think the simple fix might be simply, as I just pointed out, to allow for other types of voting capability. That's all.
Hashtag bring back the ballads. Let's get it trending on Twitter.
There you go. Okay, from Fred House. I'm writing it down right now. Hashtag bring back the ballads. Okay. All right. You heard it here first on Fred House Sports. But no, I really do believe that that would be the way to do it. I think that, you know, we don't know what kind of campaigns are going on in Kansas City. It would not surprise me in the least if people are being encouraged out there via TV, via cable, via radio, you know, get on the internet. Here's the website. Make sure you do it. You know, let me ask a real quick question before I go on to one other real quick acknowledgement, because we got to acknowledge. We had a no-no last week, and we got to acknowledge it before we move over to our little game that we play each week. But have either of you yet voted for anybody in the All-Star game? I'm going to tell you right now, I have not.
Neither have I.
I have not either.
Why?
Good question. I don't know.
That is a good question.
Because
the
internet.
Because it's internet-based.
Haven't. Because it's internet-based. Caleb, you've been to the ballpark now a number of times. If the ballot had been handed to you at the ballpark, you would have voted.
Oh, heck yeah. There was nothing
heck
there
yeah.
to vote. There were just some signs up saying, hey, go to whatever.com and go and,
you forget.
And
you forget.
Vote. And while I think that's a great thing, yeah, I like your idea of, hey, it should be a ballpark-only thing. This should not be an online thing. This should be you have to go to a ball game, watch a ball. Heck, you don't even have to watch a ball game. You could just show up there, pay for your ticket, vote, and then leave. But at least you went. I mean, so I just think that's a better way to have it and a more fair way of doing it, because then it keeps away from random computers being used at some sort of a library, someone's house, whatever. People, the same exact fan could go on to 7 different laptops and go and vote 35 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy. And so if there was a handout to me at the ballpark, I would have voted and sent it in inside of the box, and boom, I voted. But here, I'm sitting here, and I haven't, and I've been to a ballpark, and I haven't voted yet.
Right, and the difference is because it is internet-based.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, all of us here are very internet-savvy. We're all social media-savvy, all of us. Because of all the other things that we're doing and because we're busy with other stuff, we're not necessarily thinking about going out and making sure we voted for our players for the All-Star game. We're not thinking about it because it's not in our face. But I'm going to bet you that there are campaigns that are going on in Kansas. Excuse me, in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
All right, real quick, because I only got about a little less than 5 minutes left here. Let me do this real quick. I need to acknowledge, and it really was a pretty good feel-good story, although our other panelist, who's not with us tonight, Nick, made a very good point. And I'll bring it up here in a moment. Chris Heston last week got the first no-hitter of the season for the San Francisco Giants last week. 5-0 win over the New York Mets. Last Tuesday, night. It was right after we got off the air, actually. First no-hitter of the year. Actually, a pretty good accomplishment, and I do want to come back to this topic in weeks to come. It seems to me that no-hitters are at a premium this year. We've seen some seasons where, well, we've already had maybe two or three by this time of the season. Not this year. They're a little tough to come by. But gosh darn it, this Chris Heston might be the real deal. 13th career start, he gets a no-hitter. Guys, huh? Got to give it to him. But Nick brings up, how about this one for a stat? The fourth no-hitter for a San Francisco Giant pitcher in 4 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
I don't know if anybody's got any thoughts on that one, but hey,
that's
you got to tip a hat to Chris Heston. Really, tip a hat to Chris Heston. Is this his first season or is this his second season? I know it was only his 13th career start.
Well, they said that this is his rookie season.
That's what I thought I read too. It was his rookie season.
But yeah. I'm pretty sure that usually how they is if you're called up in September. Then that doesn't necessarily count as your rookie season. It's your very first full season. So this could very well be his technically second season, but this is his first full season.
It may have been, as they say, they hadn't started the clock on him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right, let's get over real quick to our, because I don't want to lose track of time and forget to get this in here. We've got our three-streak challenge that's been going all season long. We're into week 11. Excuse me here. We're into week 11 right now. Guys, Nick lost last week, so we all gained a game on him. We were three games down on him. We're now only two because each and every one of us won last week, and Nick lost. So Nick is 6-4, and the three of us sitting here today are 4-6. Now, I don't know, conspiracy theorist as I have been this evening, I beg Nick, I got in touch with him numerous times, hey, don't forget to send me over your selection for tonight's series streak challenge. I haven't heard from Nick, so we'll just go ahead with our picks. Go ahead, Caleb, what do you got for us tonight? What's your pick for this week?
I'm gonna take the Pirates over the Nationals this weekend. So.
All right. Pirates over the Nationals. All right. I had a feeling you were going there. Go ahead, Sean. Where you got?
I'm going to take the Padres over the Diamondbacks.
Padres. Yeah, let's spell that right, Mike. Over D-backs. Boy, oh, boy. Caleb, you're just going to love me. I had a feeling you were going there. I'm going with the Nationals over the Pirates.
All right.
I'm going with the Nationals over the Pirates. So that puts you and
this is our second head-to-head?
This is our second head-to-head, and I've been involved in both of them.
Yep.
Well, so, someone's going to end up in fourth place this week.
It would seem that way, wouldn't it?
Yep.
And then we will end up getting Nick's we'll have to track him down, and we'll get his pick. And, well, what do you got to do? You got to get over to our Facebook page. And you'll find that. You'll find it. I'll have it posted up there as soon as I get Nick's pick. Frat House Sports, lease spaces in between. Look for a little purple icon. In the meantime, here's what everybody's got to do. Make sure you get back here with us on Thursday night for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show 197, coming to you this week. I think it's number 97. Yes, it is. 197 coming to you this week. Big show. I'm sure it will be. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be yet, but it's always a big show. Be here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, I wanted to send a shout-out and a thank you to our guest this evening, Ryan Willis, from the What You Talking About Willis program out there in San Diego. Go Google that and find that and give him a like over at WackyWillis90 over on Twitter, and then you can get all the information. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Great, great program. Again, they just get better and better. All of you out there, a couple of big games going on this evening. But please, don't forget to enjoy your baseball. Take care. Catch you next week.